Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
And here's something that was relayed to me, that if you are on the field for these sessions and you just closed your eyes and listened, you would know who the leading presence is for the offense among the coaches. The voices of Matt Patricia and Joe Judge standing above everyone else. They are leading this offense. Now, Bill Belichick hasn't said who is going to call the plays, but it will most likely be one of those two. And Laura, I got the number two pencil. I'm going to put it in the ear because I'm told don't be surprised if it's Matt Patricia, who always has that number two pencil in the ear.
That is Mike Reese, phenomenal Patriots reporter for ESPN. And I got to tell you, I got a text from my man Dante a month or two ago, Dante Scarnecchia, and he said that look for Patricia to be the offensive play caller. And to say that there's going to be, and that in and of itself is just so absurd and idiotic on so many levels, but then to intimate that there may actually be a tryout between Joe Judge and Mike Reese, I mean, I really talk about just inept versus inept. I have no idea. I mean, I have no idea how an organization that is valued over $6 billion with one of the brightest head coaches in the history of sports and a great ownership group, how they're sitting here where their most prized possession is Mac Jones. The future of Mac Jones will dictate the end of Belichick's career as a head coach, and it will dictate the final act of Robert Kraft's ownership of this team. And they're allowing that to be led by Matt Patricia?
Yeah, well, look, I've defended the wall maybe more so than anybody besides Ordway, who I'm not going to go safety-heavy game plan, the Super Bowl loss to the Eagles.
Plan.
Yeah, I won't go there like, with Malcolm Butler.
Just a quick thing on that with Ordway. Like, you know, Glenn Legend, Hall of Famer, phenomenal host.
I like you personally.
Made a ton of money for this radio station and is will forever be remembered as a great host. But you do that for the guy, and he treats you like dog crap when you interview him every week. Like, what's the purpose of carrying water for someone if they're not going to repay you in any way? Like, I understand. Who's the guy? Ahmad Rashad, right? He and Jordan were boys.
Yep.
Jim Gray and Brady. Well, they get access. They get things that other people didn't get. But Ordway carried Belichick's water, and he threw it in his face, and he did it every week.
I know. It is outstanding. But, yeah, it is funny because, like, I felt that if they were going to make this move in terms of, obviously, they didn't have control over Josh McDaniels leaving. But I felt like because they didn't replace him with an outside candidate, right, like an outside guy, and they've done that before when they need an influx in the coaching staff, they've gone outside, and they've got, like, back in the day, they'd go outside, they'd get other coaches. But when it comes to this thing, and they did it with the front office. They brought in Elliott Wolf a couple of years ago when he was available, and obviously he's helped them. The draft 2 years ago with Mac Jones, et cetera, it was great. But
was that a favor for Ron Wolf, though? And I'm being serious. Like, was that also, well, all these guys, kid, they're all connected to some incestuous NFL family.
But at least Elliott Wolf had, like, a good resume, right? Like, I know that because of his dad, he worked for the Packers. But then he went to the Browns, and they drafted really well there when he was there with John Dorsey. So I do feel like he played a role. And remember, he was the guy that other teams were interviewing this offseason for a job. It was Elliott Wolf. And part of the reporting, I think Albert Breer had it, the reason they named Wolf the or they named Grow like the new Ziggler was because of the fact they were afraid they could lose Wolf and they didn't have to want to replace the front office guy three consecutive years. Like, right. That's why Grow. But my point being is,
Even though they're about to do that with the offensive coordinator.
Well, and that's what I felt like they thought that Kaylee was the guy, right? That they must feel like Kaylee's the next upcoming Patriots star in the coaching
staff.
Well,
that was all coming from the Patriots bobos, right? That they were saying, whoa, Kaylee's the guy. All of a sudden, people were calling the Greg Hill Show and Ken and Curtis saying, oh, guys, Kaylee's the man. You don't even understand it. It's like, nope, clearly he wasn't, and that was all just a smokescreen.
Yeah, and I hope we're still there. Like, I hope eventually Kaylee is the guy, and it's not Patricia, and it's not Joe Judge. But
is there any coach that you would less want someone to learn from and be the protege of than Matt Patricia or Joe Judge? Like, maybe Rich Kotite?
Urban Meyer, maybe.
Urban Meyer.
Like, from a personality standpoint.
He's still a good friend with Bill. They spent New Year's together.
Yeah, maybe he'll be on the staff. Oh. I don't understand this. And to me, what this signals is, if Kaylee isn't the guy, and I'm still holding out possibility that Kaylee could be the guy, and, like, I look through the recent track records of tight end coaches that have become play callers, and it's been really successful lately. It's Brian Daboll. It's Sean McVay. It's Arthur Smith, right? Tight end coaches, because they implement more play action. I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole, but it's worked out. So I felt like, okay, because Kraft basically took a shot at McDaniels at the owners' meeting.
Did Kaylee teach Dalton Keene anything, or was he not there?
I don't know what he talked
about. Or Tony Asiasi?
Oh, yeah. Didn't Wiggy say Asiasi was going to have more catches than Gronk?
Yep.
But anyway, my point being is, like, I was holding out hope that that's what they thought. They thought they had something in Kaylee because of the fact that they didn't go externally and hire somebody, because remember the whole Bill O'Brien thing, and now it just feels like this, what they're doing right now, if they're just going to plug in, and I'm not saying it's above Belichick to do this, but if they're just plugging in Patricia or Judge to take over for Josh McDaniels, who, look, I've had my issues with McDaniels' scheme and his play calling at times, but he's pretty good at his job. This would be one of, and this is saying a lot, one of the most arrogant things that Belichick has ever done. If it's just Patricia and Judge, and it's not Kaylee, if it's Patricia or Judge, this would be like the definition of arrogant. Oh, I just compared Josh McDaniels to Nick Saban. He literally did that this year. He said it's like having Nick Saban. Remember that? He actually, like, that's a direct quote.
Correct.
Bill called him but he compared him to Nick Saban. And your answer is Joe Judge or Matt Patricia? That's why I got to believe it's not, like, I know what Mike Reese is saying. I know those guys are leading things right now. I got to believe that, like, they're hiding Kaylee.
No way.
I can see this kid ending the season with 80-plus catches.
He will not have 80 career catches.
Had you ever seen him play?
Of course not. It's just honk, honk, honk. But, you know, the other thing, but what you just described, Brian, is why I, in a way, admire Bill. Because he doesn't give a crap. He knows he's on the line. He knows his reputation's at stake. And he knew that the defense needed a ton of help, needed definitely a linebacker or two. And he took a guy from Chattanooga who can't throw a baseball at 29. And he traded back with the Chiefs, where, like, do you ever envision a scenario by which Belichick and Polian would be doing draft day first round deals when it was Brady versus Manning in the 2000s? Like, there's no way that those two teams would be trading. And yet he's improving the best team in the AFC by giving up his spot at 21 so they can take a corner, which, if that guy's good, easy second guess. But this is why, in a weird, effed up way, you kind of have to respect Bill, because he's doing this knowing that he's going to be grilled and ridiculed if it doesn't work.
Well, and maybe he doesn't view himself on that level as the Chiefs, right? Maybe he looks at it as like, this isn't like me.
But his owner did during the owner's meetings.
Yeah, that is true. I felt like he had a really bad a couple of days there, Robert Kraft, some of the stuff that he was saying at the owner's meetings.
I believe it was first speculated by Gasper and others on Comcast and other places that was performative, and I fell for it. It was live during our show with Greg, and we played the audio, and I was like, wow, Belichick might actually be held to the fire. This is a new, you know, because it wasn't a question, if you recall.
Yeah.
Kraft introduced himself and began saying those things, so it wasn't
he took shots at everybody. I mean, remember he said we're going to get better use out of the guys we signed, basically saying that Josh didn't. I mean, that's essentially what he was saying there, if you read between the lines, but I think one of the things that I really like about what Sean McVay did, if you juxtapose it to Bill, is McVay is an offensive guy. So when he first got this job, when he was like 31, he went out and he got Wade Phillips, a Super Bowl coordinator with the Denver Broncos, right? And then it's not working with Wade Phillips. So remember, the Patriots stole the Bears' game plan to beat them in the Super Bowl. They stole their game plan. And a lot to say, like, I mean, they should do that, right? The Bears stopped the Rams that year that the Rams went to the Super Bowl. So the next year, they decide to hire a guy off Vic Fangio's staff or from the Vic Fangio defense in Brandon Staley. And they hire Brandon Staley, who eventually becomes the Chargers coach, right? Because Sean McVay wants that scheme. He realizes, oh, this scheme's really effective. I'm going to go get the guy. And with Bill Belichick, they're not even looking for that. They're right. not looking to improve the offense. They're not looking to get other ideas in terms of what could improve the offense. And the offense, last year, it was average at best. I mean, it was not a good offense, right? So why wouldn't you want to get other ideas? That's the thing that kind of irks me about this whole process is the fact that they didn't really seek outside help when it feels like if there was any a time or if there was ever a time, rather, to seek outside help, this would be it. And Bill's done it before, right? Dean Pease he brought in from outside, right? Dean Pease didn't start with the organization.
Right, but I think that was speculated that was a concern that there might be a suspension for the head coach, and that wasn't his decision.
What about O'Brien? Like, they went out and they got O'Brien.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? I really find stunning for Belichick because, as you alluded to, McVay studied these guys, brought them in. It's amazing that Bill Belichick hasn't allowed himself to see what has occurred when the program that he's cultivated leaves without Brady, and that he's still acting like nothing's changed. Yet he's seen Weiss, Crennel, Flores, well, Flores didn't fail, but Billy O, Josh in Denver, all of the leaves off of his coaching tree, all the branches that fell off, all attempted to replicate what was developed and built in Foxborough and failed because none of them had the greatest quarterback of all time. So here's Bill, a student of history, knows more about the NFL than any human walking the face of the earth, been in it for almost 40-plus years. And he's seen what's gone on, but the hubris won't allow him to recognize the necessity of changing how he has done things because it's failed everywhere else. I recognize that Bill is the best at executing Bill's system. Nobody would dispute that. But he has had a front row seat and brought back several of those people, Joe Judge and Patricia, two guys who failed back with him, all of whom have failed in part, in large part, because they didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah, and I actually like, it's unfortunate too, because I was higher on the draft than most people. I actually liked the fact that they valued speed, which is something they ordinarily didn't do. But to your point, one of the things that I would look at is, think about Josh McDaniels, right? So he goes to Denver and he fails. We all know he fails. He tried to be mini Bill. I mean, his personality was a joke. I mean, not to say that Cutler is some Hall of Famer, but immediately they're getting rid of Jay Cutler, right? I mean, it was a complete disaster there just from a culture standpoint, right? He tried to be Bill. Look at it this time around. Look at what the Raiders have done. They traded for arguably the best receiver in the NFL. They signed a guy that used to be here, obviously, one of the best pass rushers in the league,
yep,
in Chandler Jones. So McDaniels realizes, I can't build it like Bill and Brady built it early in the 2000s. I screwed up in Denver, so I'm changing the approach, right? I mean, think about it. It's basically what he is doing with the Raiders is the complete opposite of how Bill Belichick handles the organization. Now, I'm sure a lot of the scheme things and the culture stuff will be similar, but just look in terms of how they're building the personnel there. Even Dave Ziegler, who was just here with the Patriots, look at the way that they're building their roster. It's through, okay, it's this crazy concept. Let's trade for great players. That's what they've done. And McDaniels got rid of good players in Denver, like Bill would do here. So he completely has changed his approach.
Yeah, it is amazing. And I think that's why Josh has been a fascinating study, because I think the reporting was accurate when Mike Reese said that Bill was, quote, opening up his world to him and that he was teaching things. I think Josh said, yeah, I appreciate all this, but that's not how I'm going to run my team. I've done this without Brady. It failed. I don't think it's going to work here. I had a good first year with Mac where he really played well. What if he has a sophomore slump? Will this opportunity still exist for me? I'm going to jump when the iron's hot. He got to Oakland, has been able to develop his own franchise in his own way, and he has done it 180 degrees from how they did it here. But we got to take a quick break after we have Brian Barrett's trending. And so we have the Patriots on the table. Do you think... Are you concerned at all about Patricia and Judge? Is this something that is just a media creation and I'm losing my mind for no reason? Or are you actually concerned about the Patriots this year? We still have Bruins game 7, 4:30 today. Celtics game 7, 3:30 tomorrow. The first time in the history of this great city, there has been consecutive game 7s on two back-to-back days. And we have, do you agree with the Mutt Man? Robert Williams is soft, according to Mike Mutnansky. Do you agree? We'll get to that after this trend.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Soreness is there. The swelling, we thought it was a swelling initially, and once the swelling went down, you know, found out obviously he had a bone bruise, but it's still a high pain threshold there. And then it limits his movement, you know, flexion. When he bends a certain way, he's feeling it. So that's during the testing, and when you get out in there and play, obviously at a much higher level, it's going to impact him.
Is this looking like a long-term recovery with this?
No, not at all. It's day-to-day.
That is Ime Udoka, the brilliant head coach of the Boston Celtics. They are on the precipice of the Eastern Conference Finals. Ken Laird is off, heading with some nice family time, hardest working man in the building. So he'll be back, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday. Brian Barrett is in his stead this morning. And we are taking your calls at 617-779-7937 on a really historic weekend in Boston. Somehow I got waylaid into Price versus Sale, but I always enjoy that. We have Robert Williams, the Time Lord. Mutt says he's soft as baby poop, says that he should have played, and he's a big P word for not playing in the game six. We have Jason Tatum, who, according to Brian Barrett, the best singular performance in his lifetime as a Boston Celtic. Is that correct?
Yes, I did not witness Bird in person. So this is not me saying that Larry Bird, like the I didn't see the Dominique game. I know about the Dominique game. I didn't see it.
Did you see Marty Conlon?
No.
He was a great Celtic. I love that guy.
I didn't see the Kuzi Dalshays battle either. I missed that.
What about Dino Raja?
Oh, I love Dino.
I mean, I could do 90s Celtics. Who was the guy that was a great player, point guard, came here briefly? Kenny Anderson.
Yeah, he tweets in his Celtics gear all the time. He was torn during the Nets series.
Oh, really?
He's wearing both.
I've speculated and thrown it out there from time to time. I am going to do a book on the 90s Boston teams just so the next generation, like my son, can understand just how bad it was and how great it is right now.
Yeah, I would love to have any documentary on the Patino Celtics.
And I think, I mean, when I talk about Loserville in the 90s, I'll just have Mutt's face on the cover of the book.
Well, that's a shot, all right. But I just feel like that Patino team, like, that era is so funny. Like,
Kevin McHale's not walking through that door.
Remember when he was, like, trying to press? And the guy's like, this is the NBA.
I remember?
We're not pressing. We're not running your Kentucky press, Rick. And then, like, he traded Chauncey Billups in his rookie year, who they took fourth overall. Like, he didn't want to give him some time, maybe.
Yeah. Larry Bird's not walking through that door.
What a colossal failure he was. I don't think
Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
We know that. That's why you're here, Ricky. You're
Dino
here to
Raja. That's a great name drop, too.
Oh, Dino. I could do
Sherman Douglas.
Oh, the Sherm. I mean, and I really believe Tommy Heinsohn single-handedly lifted the morale of this region for what he did with the Walter, the Tommy points. That's when that all really came into effect, the mid-90s. He was obsessed with Walter McCarty, and thank God for that, because Rick Pitino was an asshat. When your first move is to demote Red Auerbach, like, what an asshat he is.
No ego.
Anyway, yeah, no ego at all. Loves Italian food, though. Ryan in Quincy. How you doing today, Ryan?
Hey, how are you?
Great.
So I heard you guys on the last set saying, you're saying, do we think Robert Williams is soft, right?
Correct. Well, Mutt says it.
And yeah. Okay, so he was in the running for Defensive Player of the Year before he got injured. He's been one of the best centers in the league all around all year. And he came back, you know, a week after MCL surgery to, you know, try to help the team. And it's just apparent, you know, he's hurt. He's hurt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what can you do? But it's also like, you know, he's hurt and we're winning without him. So,
right.
You know, why rush him back?
Win-win.
You know, you just signed him to this long deal, you know?
Yeah. I mean, now you'll have him, you know, I'm sure in hindsight, if they knew that the Nets were going to collapse and that they could sweep them, that maybe they wouldn't have rushed him back that series. And then he's ready to go healthier here. But obviously you can't foresee that in advance.
I mean, looking at him, though, realistically, he's not going to be playing, you know, anywhere near 100% for the rest of this year. I mean, he's hurt, man. He just had surgery. So, but that's another thing. You know how everyone's using the excuse with Milwaukee? They don't have Middleton. It's like, you know, we don't have the best defensive center in the league this year, and we're still beating them. So it's a good thing to think of for next year, you know, when they're both 100%. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Ryan. Great points. Yeah, I think, you know, obviously Middleton is a better all-around player than Robert Williams. Nobody would argue with that.
And he's a secondary scorer.
But I do think, you know, at a certain point when you're at Game 7 of the conference finals of the semis in the Eastern Conference, I think, you know, every team deals with it. And, you know, look at what happened to all – I mean, look at the Lakers this year. Look at all these teams that dealt with – huge debilitating injuries, whether it was the unibrow guy, whatever his name is.
Davis, yeah.
Anthony Davis, another.
Now, thing. That may be a softness issue.
Right. Okay.
That guy, that may be a softness
would
issue.
Would you say it to his face? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Depends if I was drinking.
But if he didn't come back, if he had the surgery in March and it was a 4 to 6 week thing and it was 8 weeks out and he still wasn't playing and he was pre-game shooting, doing everything, looking good, and you're like, okay, like, you don't have to be 100%. Right. You could be 85, and we can still use you. But well, he's played. He came back outside of the window of the return date on the early side, 3.5 weeks after a 4 to 6 week surgery. And you're saying that he's soft and it's a pain tolerance thing. Like, do you know how much of sports in general is between the ears? Especially when the margin between the greatest player and the second greatest player is relatively small. Might actually be no athletic difference. It's about your mind, what you believe you can do.
Right.
Why do you think all these teams have sports psychologists? So if the injury is something that he can tolerate the pain of, because I think he can, he clearly did against the Nets, but now the second injury and the bone bruise is having him question his ability, whatever it's doing, it's damaging his ability to perform at the level they require him to perform at. So why would you want him on the floor anyway?
Well, yeah, there's a couple of things. So the first thing is, as it pertains to Ime Udoka, I do feel like he could have been better with, and he, I mean, I it's tough to criticize Ime Udoka because the thing that I feel is refreshing about him is he's in the Bruce Cassidy mold, not the Belichick mold. He'll just say whatever he thinks. He doesn't care. Remember at the beginning of the season, we felt like, is he calling guys out too much?
Right.
So he's not careful sometimes when he speaks to the media. And I feel like where people had this take about Robert Williams being soft and he should give it a go is when he says it's a pain tolerance thing. But the most important thing he says there is it limits his mobility and the flexion. So that's the issue. He doesn't have the mobility at his knee. And this was game six of the Eastern Conference semifinals with your season on the line. If you lose yesterday, you're done. So right. If Robert Williams could play, he would have played. Clearly, this injury, and remember, this is another injury. It's a separate injury from the and obviously, we know he's not 100% coming back from the injury. He came back in the early timeline. I'm not saying the Celtics were bad to rush him. I'm just pointing out the fact that when you come back from a surgery early, and even if you come back on time, you're probably not going to be 100%. You're still going to get your conditioning up and all that. And on top of coming back from a surgery, trying to get your conditioning up, trying to catch your wind, now you suffer another injury. And from that injury, you don't have the mobility in the knee to be the type of player that you are, which is a rim protector, a shot blocker, and on the offensive side, you're a lob catcher. So in terms of his athleticism, it may be as important as anybody in the NBA that that guy has his mobility because of the way that he plays. So I just have an issue with the fact that people pointing out the fact, well, how come he can't play through it? Well, he can't play through it because he can't move.
Right.
And if he can't move, he's useless. He's not like, this isn't a, what was that guy's name back in the day? Willis Reed. This isn't Willis Reed.
Who, by the way, only played like 2 minutes in that game.
Yeah, but the point, he came back to hit a shot, right? Like, this isn't a Willis Reed. This is a guy that needs to.
Reed was the last time the Knicks won anything, which was 60 years ago.
This is a guy that needs to come over as a help defender and try to block Giannis Antetokounmpo at the rim. If he can't jump, it doesn't make any sense for him to be out there.
Yeah, it's absurd. And you can't be tough when you came back early and then soft after a bone bruise. Like, generally speaking, people are either tough or not. It doesn't depend on the injury, the level of toughness you have. But one element of last night's game that we mentioned and spoke about at length at the top of the show, but I think it's worth resetting. 46 points for Jason Tatum. Second most in the history of the Celtics in an elimination game, tying Paul Pierce with his 46 against LeBron James, which may have been the best basketball game I've ever seen in person. Absolutely electric. The Garden was on fire. LeBron was sensational. Pierce was amazing. And those two teams despised one another and everything that was on the line with Doc. By the way, quick aside, something that you and I talked about before the show. The Doc Rivers coaching era, I think we may give too little credit to Pierce, Allen, and KG, and too much at all to Doc Rivers, considering what he has done since leaving the Boston Celtics.
Oh, for winning with Doc, that's a championship and a half. I count that. Well, they treat it too. They think they won like 8 championships. Doc will tell you, hey, we never lost a series healthy.
Right. I mean, the way he reacted with the Nets loss, and they, you know, they're eliminated in 6 games by the Heat, a team that they are more talented than. And he's saying, like, after the games, like, it's not me, these guys. And then Morey came out, and he's definitely coming back.
Well, yeah, he's an idiot, Doc. I don't know what he's talking about. After they lose, he comes out, and he has the audacity to say, when I came here, nobody had expectations for us. What? You had Joel Embiid. Like, everybody had expectations for you. Then at the deadline, you traded for James Harden. Literally everybody had expectations for you to be one of the favorites to come out of the East. He's blown more 3-1/3-2 leads in the history of the NBA than any other coach. I mean, he's a consistent choker. That's why him and Harden were the perfect marriage. But I will say this as it pertains to this Celtics team compared to 08. I really hope this team wins because I am so sick of the 08 team. I mean, they act like they are a dynasty. They won one championship. They act like they're this unbelievable dynasty.
And they blew a double-digit second-half lead in Game 7 against the Lakers.
They should have beaten the Lakers in that game where Ron Artest ends up with the—like, Kobe sucked in that game.
Yeah.
They should have won that. So, I mean, that team just—they pissed me off the way that they talk. Like you would think they
are— Well, it's the Bruins and the Celtics. Both of those franchises. Ken is telling me about championship pedigree on the Bruins where it's like, what are you talking about? The goalie has no championship pedigree. The head coach has no championship pedigree. And outside of Marchand and Bergeron, nobody else on the roster has championship pedigree. Like, I'm sorry, if the Red Sox had Xander and no one else from that 2013, 2018, whatever, like, we wouldn't be saying the Red Sox have championship pedigree if it was a different manager than Cora and they didn't have the same, you know, number of stars in their lineup that had won. The Bruins and the Celtics have never won in the same season, I believe. I don't think we've ever had a double winter title. But each of those franchises, one because this is a totally new Celtics roster, and they're going to be, you know, creating their own course. But two, the Celtics are at that point where they're already back to where they've been, or almost. Like, they need to make that next step. I trust in this organization in a way that I didn't 5 months ago. I am fully on board with Ime, Jason, Jalen, Marcus, Time Lord, I know he's soft, all those guys. I have a feeling that this is not the end of any window by any means. But the league, as you alluded to, has set up in a way where they are the favorite right now. According to 538, they have the most likely championship odds. So you don't know what's going to happen next year. You don't know who else is going to be injured. You don't know what the rest of the field is going to look like. This is an opportunity because, as you said, we may not have the same view of Tatum's 46-point game if they lose by six tomorrow with the Garden.
Yeah, it could become the Julio Jones catch if they don't finish it. But, yeah, the other thing is, like, Jaylen Brown, we all know throughout his career, unfortunately, and this isn't a critique of Jaylen, I'm not calling him soft, but he's injury-prone. That's the reality. Jaylen Brown has missed a ton of time in his career going back to last postseason. Remember, that was supposed to be Tatum and Jaylen's run as the star players of this team. They were going to lose to the Nets no matter what. But they didn't go out there together because Jaylen Brown was dealing with an injury. So considering the injury history of Jaylen Brown, you never know. And the other thing I'd say, just, and I'm not trying to create a controversy here.
I love that. So, well, go for it.
Jaylen Brown's got, what, this year and next year left on his contract? So now I don't envision the Celtics letting him get away and not maxing him, but who knows what could happen in a year from now. We see in the NBA all the time, these guys get upset with their roles. And I'm not saying that's going to happen with Jaylen, but these guys get up. Who knows what's going to happen long term with the organization? You're never going to get this type of performance from Al Horford. And can you even find another player that does what Horford does, right? Where he's a big man that can shoot threes. He can score when you need him to down low a little bit. And he can defend, and look, he was not as great last night. He's been in most of the series, but he can defend a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, that's a really difficult player to find, and you're getting this performance from Al right now at 35. Al's never going to be as good as he is right now in the postseason. And so I just feel like if they don't cash in all their chips right now, then who knows what happens next year? I mean, we could see another super team happen in the NBA, and Middleton's going to be back with the Bucks next year, and that's going to be a more difficult series. So I feel like the window, obviously, it's wide open for the Celtics, but when you have the chance to cash it, that's what was so good about Brady and Belichick for all those years, right? When they had those opportunities, they always cashed in. Look at the Seahawks. They had opportunities. They got one. The Patriots always were able to cash in, and I just feel like this is the perfect opportunity for the Celtics, and if they lose tomorrow Game 7, it's going to feel like a massive gut punch because then we're going to look back at Game 5 as well.
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow, Game 7, obviously the Bruins today at 4:30, but it's in Raleigh, North Carolina. Wish it were here. Tomorrow at home, Game 7, that is going to be such a sensational atmosphere at the Garden. The buildup, I mean, speaking of the 90s, like, I could think of two or three days, Game 3, 99 ALCS at Fenway, Clemens Pedro. That was an awesome standalone event. I remember the whole day building up to it, all that. But those were so infrequent. Now you have the opportunity on I mean, this is just totally out of nowhere, considering where they were at Christmas, that you have this Celtics team hosting the defending champion with the visit to the conference finals on the line with the best player in the series. I would say Tatum has been the best player. Well, last night he was the best player in the series. Overall, it's been Giannis. But I think an opportunity for Tatum to really cement his status in Boston sports history, closing out the series and possibly getting a title run. And you have the Bruins today, who first round series against the most talented team remaining in the Eastern Conference. I think they get past Carolina. They have a shot to get to the conference final themselves. I think they'd be favored over either the Rangers or the Penguins in the next round. But it is a awesome, just what a weekend. Game 7 tonight, 4:30, Bruins, Canes. Game 7 tomorrow, 3:30 at the Garden, Bucks, Celtics. When it comes to the future of the Celtics, though, Bryant, I find it easier to comprehend organic chemistry than the NBA salary cap. Like, I have no idea how it works, so I don't know about Jaylen Brown. It seems to me that those two have coalesced to a point where you're going to see them together for years to come. It seems like they have the exact right coach and that Brad appears to be happy in his current role. I'm very optimistic about a lot of shots down the line. I think if the Bruins lose today, I think you could be looking at a totally different roster going forward. A totally different head coach, and I think some serious decisions would have to be made.
Yeah, like for the Celtics too, like Wick has in the past paid the luxury tax when they had the team, when they had Garnett, when they had Pierce, and now he's going to have to going forward pay the luxury tax, which I envision he'll do, especially if they're winning at a high level. With the Bruins, I agree with you, and it feels like I know they have a lot of guys that are still like in their prime and entering their prime, the McAvoys, and they signed Lindholm to that extension after they traded him. But it does sort of feel like to validate the era of this era of Bruins hockey, they need another one like Marchand and Bergeron. If you think about it, I'm not blaming those two guys in particular, but I mean, we saw Bergeron get outplayed by O'Reilly against the Blues in 19. This series, they're going to have the advantage going back home because Bergeron has been not good in the faceoff circle at all when they can match up Jordan Staal against him.
Last change coming into play.
It's a major factor, man. And so I just look at it. So I think about some of those teams from this era, like the Kings won two. We know the Blackhawks were kind of the team of the late 2000s into this decade. They won three. Sidney Crosby and the Penguins won three.
Yep.
And it feels like the Bruins have been there, right? 19 was the one that really got away, but they also won in 13. We all know what happened to Tuukka in that game. It really does feel like, to put a stamp on this era of Bruins hockey, they need to get another cup. A lot of teams, and the Lightning have won two. A lot of teams, back-to-back, a lot of teams have won one.
It's the only sport remaining where you can win consecutive championships. Every other sport, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, unless you're the Warriors in the NBA.
Warriors, right.
I mean, and I feel like even
baseball and football has been the two outliers.
I feel like baseball is just impossible. I mean, so much has to do with health and all that compared
to. But I feel like baseball, because there is really no cap whatsoever, and, like, I don't know. I mean, the Yankees won every year from 96, basically. I mean,
that's
they won
true.
5 and 6 years.
Yeah. But
or
I
4 and 5, whatever the hell it was.
I just feel like it's such a. I feel like the Carolina Hurricanes have all the advantage going into today. I really, like, it's so stark. If you just look at the home and the road, it's like two different teams when the Bruins go on the road because they have the ability to match up Staal against the Bergeron line. That's what, like, my head's telling me they're not going to win this game just based on all the information we have from the series so far, Curtis. I feel like it's really difficult for me to pick the Bruins to win today.
Yeah, well, I actually looked at some film, and I have a feeling that the Bruins are going to get a little extra puck luck today. I like the Bees 5-3 over the Canes. High-scoring affair. And I think the Celtics tomorrow, I can't get over the stat from Brian Windhorst, who this morning noted, entering Game 6, the Bucks had won 8 consecutive elimination games. Games in which the team they're playing would fall out of the series had they lost. 8 in a row. Last night, entering Game 6, having won 8 straight elimination games against a team that just peed down their leg at home in Game 5, and Tatum comes out, scores 46 points, second all-time in the history playoff history of the Celtics behind Sam Jones in 63, and what a performance that was. I remember it vividly. So
were you there?
I was, yeah. I was sitting next to Glenn. But a great night last night.
How was the ball movement?
It's a difficult concept, moving the ball. I never really could understand what that meant when I was a child. Maybe that's why I never became a great basketball player. But we have the Celtics tomorrow, 3:30, Game 7. Bruins Game 7 today, 4:30 against the Hurricanes. Taking your calls on both games. What are you interested in? Do you think Robert Williams has to play tomorrow, or he's going to be soft forever? Do you agree with Mike Bonansky? And lastly, the Patriots' schedule is out. I'd like to get Brian Barrett's thoughts on that briefly, and we'll get to all your calls on that next.
When we talk about ball movement, you're talking about the movement of the ball.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're right right back to it. Ken and Curtis, WEEI. WEEI.
What does playing a game seven in Boston mean to you?
It means everything. You know, the best atmosphere in the NBA, and, you know, game sevens are, you know, the biggest, the best games. So looking forward to it, truly. You know, just winning this game, giving ourselves a chance, go back, and, you know, this is it. It's do or die, and, you know, it's going to be fun. So, you know, this is supposed to be fun. It's basketball, biggest moments, biggest stage. And when it boils down, it's just, you know, I go out there and just have fun.
That is Jason Tatum. Sensational night, historic weekend in the city of Boston, consecutive game sevens, first time ever, which is pretty remarkable considering how long we've been going with all these teams in this market, especially the Celtics and Bruins. Awesome, especially considering that the Bruins were in an elimination game in game six. They won. Celtics were in an elimination game in game six. They won. Celtics obviously doing it on the road. Bruins doing it home. Tomorrow at the Garden, and Tatum gets it. I mean, it's awesome hearing a guy who is as young but as accomplished. He's 24, 23?
Yeah, he just turned 24. It's technically his 23-year-old season, but yeah, he just had his 24th birthday.
Happy birthday, Jason. and so he's 24 years old, and he is playing at the very top of his game, top five player in the league, and he embraces who he is and who he plays for and the city he plays in, which is just so difficult and so something that we should really appreciate as fans of these teams and people that cover them, that you have a guy, these two guys. Jalen is an incredibly cerebral guy, talks about Boston, talks about his experience here. Two young guys that have sort of learned to work together and play together, and Ime certainly has brought out the best in both of them. But just, you know, you can't really put into to proper words what 46 points on the road against the defending champion at home when that team had just won eight straight elimination games.
Yeah, and I think, too, with Tatum, there's been, like, this whole maturation process just in terms of how he plays. Like, there was this whole criticism of him last year of, oh, he's not a great passer, he's not a good playmaker. And then last year he averaged four assists, and it took Kevin Durant until year six to do that. It took Kawhi Leonard until his first year with the Clippers. So when Jason Tatum came into the league, that he wasn't like a natural passer like LeBron or Luka Doncic or James. That's not his DNA. So he had to mold into that player. He's been working on it all season long, to the point in game five he ran the most pick and rolls he's ever ran in his entire career in the playoffs in game five. So what's being asked of Tatum is totally different than what's being asked of even a guy like Jaylen Brown, who's the secondary star on this team. It's Jason Tatum is the guy that has to run the entire offense, right? Basically, and I know Smart is technically the point guard, if you will, but Jason Tatum's the one that's running this offense. The whole Bucks defense is game planning for how to stop Jason Tatum, and he's completely dissecting everything with that defense. And if this was even last year, there's no way he could make the plays he is. Like, he has so many passes that he didn't have before. Like, the one where he goes to the right wing and can swing it all the way back to the left, that wasn't in his arsenal last year. So I just feel like he's now, like, at the peak of his powers where nothing's going to confuse him. And he still has the ability to, as we saw last night, when you need him to, go out and get 46 points. And I think this is just a real positive thing going forward for the organization. Is we've had all this stuff about, oh, star players don't want to come here. Well, now you have a star that his contract extension is about to kick in terms of the max deal that he signed with the Celtics. And guys are going to want to play with Jason Tatum. And I do feel like there is, like, a vibe with the team now, like with Ime Udoka, guys obviously like him, with Jaylen Brown, with this kind of the crew that they have now, where it would be enticing if other guys want to come here. Now, I don't think there's any big move that they need to make. They're on the precipice of beating the defending champs and possibly going to the NBA Finals. But I'm just saying, if they wanted to make a move, Tatum's one of the stars of the league, and he's going to be one of the faces of the league.
Yeah, and what you just heard, what Nick, our producer Nick LePan, played coming out of the break, was a guy, Jason Tatum, promoting Boston, which wasn't the case when Kyrie was here. It wasn't the case in the past couple years. So for him, I mean, that goes a long way. I don't think there's been a superstar in the league loving on Boston basically since the big three left, in terms of those guys obviously loved it here. But it really is. And the other thing that I kind of, you know, I fall into the trap as well about, you know, the Celtics need to strike while the iron's hot, all that. Well, couldn't you make the case that the Bucks better win tomorrow because they may not be better than the Celtics going forward? That even if they bring Middleton back, the young nucleus of this team with Ime, they've only really coalesced since January. Now they have an offseason. They can build around those guys. They can add to it. They have a healthy Time Lord. Who knows? But this could be a changing of the guard in the Eastern Conference, where if the Celtics handle this correctly, they could own the conference as well. Like, you could also make the case that while we're all saying that they need to win because the conference is down, the Nets, you know, the Nets are a disaster. There's no super team. LeBron and the Lakers are out, never made the playoffs, all of that. But you could also say that the Celtics may be at the start of a you know, 5-year run where they're the team to beat in the conference.
Well, yeah, it's a good point, because Holiday is going to be on the other side of 30. Middleton's going to be on the other side of 30. Yeah, Giannis is still at his physical peak, but Tatum is entering his prime. Brown is entering his prime, and Smart is finally, and you got to give Udoka credit for this, he's finally figured out like how to use Marcus Smart. I mean, for how many years were you talking about Marcus Smart taking dumb shots, right?
Well, what about Marcus Smart, though, being a teammate, too? Like,
yeah.
Very openly supportive yesterday, talking about we got Tatum the ball. He mentioned twice, I noted, in the transcript from the presser, his contract. I don't know if you saw that.
That's why he makes the big bucks.
Yeah, he said that twice. It's amazing. That's how, whenever people wonder, like I did, why athletes are so obsessed about making more money, it is the way they're all, obviously, hyper-competitive people. That's why they're professional athletes. But that's, more than anything else, maybe outside of championships, that's how they measure, that's how they keep score. So it's an obsession of this. Anyway, carry on.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, like, if you go back to the Orlando bubble team, where they went to the conference finals, and Marcus Smart, remember he had that whole issue after the game where he was throwing trash cans in the locker room. They had to meet into the wee hours of the night. Brad, Tatum, Brown, Marcus Smart. I think Gordon Hayward was there as well. But the problem with that team, I always live with it. Brad Stevens, he was the Bernie Sanders of offense. Everybody gets a shot, right? So it's like, hey, you have five guys that were taking 10 shots a game. It was Bernie Sanders, okay? Everybody should be on the same playing field.
It's the first socialist ever in Indiana.
Yeah, well, and that's not how the NBA works. Your best player should get the most shots. So I felt like if Brad stayed the coach, you couldn't put the toothpaste back on the tube with Smart. He was going to continue to do that. So when Ime Udoka comes in,
don't you think Brad Stevens doesn't have an electric, he's just like an old school toothbrush?
Oh, for sure.
He doesn't trust it.
Yeah, I can see that. But when you get to the point where Ime Udoka basically convinces Smart, I need you, A, to be the point guard, and B, I need you to be like the best defensive player in the league. He took on that role because it was coming from a different voice. If Brad tried to say that to Marcus, he couldn't do it because Marcus was the guy that played for Brad the longest. So I think that's part of it. And the fact that Brad, and kind of addition by subtraction, getting rid of Dennis Schroeder, who was just a ball dominant guy that shouldn't have been dominating the ball, just getting rid of him and bringing in Derek White as part of the equation completely changed things in a good way.
Absolutely. All right, we'll sneak in a high-pitched Jeff before we get to the top of the hour. Good morning, Jeff. How are you, pal?
Good morning. The show's moving so smoothly without you bicker with somebody.
I know. Isn't it nice? I'm in such a good mood. Brian's such he has such a positive disposition.
Yes, you guys will work well together. So the game was awesome yesterday. I watched it. I was surprised that they pulled it off, but they were dominant throughout the whole thing.
Yep.
But remember Wiggy recalling, no basketball player is going to come here because we don't have any popular strip clubs?
Yeah, that's why he's creating dossiers.
I mean, right, dossiers with Dump Truck, the main star. So if they win, and the way Tatum is playing now, I guarantee we're going to get some awesome talent that will want to be here.
Right. Good point, Jeff. Sorry to interrupt you. We're up against it here, but thanks for the call, Jeff. Always good to hear from you. You know what's funny? You know how when Trump was president, there was always a tweet that someone could find that was contradicting whatever he was saying at the time? It was like, without fail, somebody could go back into his Twitter history and find something because he just tweeted about everything.
Yeah.
You could say the same thing about every Boston athlete. Like, there is something that Wiggy has said that has been totally wrong about everybody that plays in the city. But that's why we love him.
Did he really say that about, like, guys don't want to come here because of the
strip
clubs?
God, it was his whole to-do. Dossiers was born out of the need to create a shake spot, as Wiggy puts it, in the city of Boston so that we could be attractive for NBA players.
I work late, so I try to listen to your guys' show as much as I can. I feel like Wiggy's had a rough postseason. Like, hasn't he had two takes? Like, A, they need to trade for LeBron, then B, it was like they need to trade for Durant.
Yeah, I mean, he's been...
Like, they're pretty good. Like, what do they want to... Does he want to gut the team for LeBron?
But Wiggy has this... It's so counterintuitive. Jermaine Wiggins was a key cog on the biggest team championship in the history of sports. The 2001 right. Patriots changed the world. They changed the landscape of the NFL, and that's not hyperbole. And Wiggy was a massive part of that. Obviously the snowball, but he had the catch before the field goal by Adam Vinatieri that led to the field goal kick that changed everything in this city. The 20 years that we have experienced, do not exist in any way if the Patriots don't win an 0-1 in the manner in which they did. And they did something in that game that had never been done before. They were introduced by Pat Summerall as a team.
Yeah.
This is a year or two removed when Ray Lewis did the gyrations for a half an hour. This was the way the team was introduced, that nobody was above the team. And Wiggy was a key contributor to that. But he evaluates every team based on if they have superstars or the amount of superstars, which just flies in the face of reason, given his personal experience.
Yeah, it does really make no sense. He picked the Nets, right, too?
I mean, listen, I've been wrong about everything, too, so I'm not saying that I'm any great shakes compared to Wiggy. But anyway, that I always like a quick Wiggy digression.
Are they back from Ireland?
They are back. Courtney posted on IG yesterday that they made it back to Logan. Very quiet from Greg. I don't know. I think he might be a little hungover. But
they're going to be in the building tomorrow?
Monday. They'll be here Monday. They'll be
No, I mean in the building, like game seven.
Oh, I thought you meant here. Game seven, I am sure Greg will be there. I doubtful on Wiggy and Coco because I feel like Greg can't get a plus one for this one. I think it'll just be him and Wick hanging on the Greg probably brought him back a Luck of the Irish Scally cap from Dublin, so that's what I'll give to Wick. But we'll get into all that coming up. I failed in paying off in my Patriots schedule tease, so we'll get into that and some news and notes and some crazy stats considering what we're witnessing this weekend and what's on stake for the Celtics on Sunday against the Bucks.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.